Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus with us here this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, if we would, just bow our heads and our hearts and let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Jesus, we bless you for your mercy. We bless you for all of your benefits that you so graciously lavish upon all of us. And we again thank you and bless you for this day. What an awesome day you have given to us to celebrate the baptisms of several young individuals. We praise you for that. And so, Lord, we just offer this time of praise and worship into your care, and we ask that you would take it and use it and glorify yourself through it and by it and for it. And above all, may we just set this aside for you. May we truly meet you today. May your spirit quicken our hearts and open our minds, and may we truly apply the holy writ, the holy word, the scriptures, and may our lives truly be different. We bless you now. We thank you for all of your benefits, all of your goodness, all of your grace, your mercy, and your love. Meet with us now, we ask, and we pray this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, Jesus our Lord and coming King, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today.
Faithfulness, O God, you wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Yeah, your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Oh, your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Yeah, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Yeah, your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing, your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. it's enough for me.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing your grace to be enough for us, Lord, for all you've done for us and what you're going to do, Lord. Allow us to follow you and put you first in our lives. Allow us to focus in on you, knowing all the attributes you have done and all the attributes you have and the stuff that you've done for us, that you want us to have that relationship, Lord. Father, we thank you for that, and we ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Thank you for allowing us to follow you, Lord. Let us really focus in on you and turn our eyes to you, for there isn't anything you won't do for us, Lord. You want us to know all the attributes that you have, love and compassion and kindness, and just this fact that you sent your only son to die for us, Lord. Wow, there's nothing more that you could possibly ever do for us, Lord. Now all we need to do is have that relationship with you, Lord. As these children today give their hearts to you and get to know you, let us remember that we're to humble ourselves as little children too, Lord, and to follow you. Allow us to turn our eyes to you. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, so Lord, you weary in trouble. No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant.
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. Let us remember the words of that song. Also, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. What a future we have in the Lord. As we humble ourselves and as we learn to follow the Lord, allow us to focus in on him and trust him. He will give us the peace that we need in this life. He will release us from the worry. He will give us freedom to live this life for him. All things we give you praise, Lord, and we ask a special blessing over this service in the lives of those that are here and that's those that couldn't be here. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, before we continue our time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me inside of your bulletin, you will notice that beginning Sunday, March the 27th, which is Easter Sunday, we will be having a change in the time for Sunday school. That will go from 9 a.m. and we will start Sunday school at 9:30. So please make a note. We didn't want to be too confusing. We know that we sprung forward here today, and so that's why we pushed back a couple weeks for Easter Sunday, Sunday school only. Worship service. But Sunday school will be at 9:30 instead of 9 a.m. Also, right underneath that announcement in your bulletin, you'll notice the praises and prayer requests. Instead of having the bulletin insert, you will notice those from here on out inside the bulletin. Unless we get more requests than we can bulletin, then we will have a bulletin insert. On the back of your bulletin, just want to highlight that on... I think I'm cutting in and out here. On March the 26th at 2 p.m. at William Park, there's Easter egg extravaganza for all the kids in the Gibsonburg community, and we are in need of wrapped Easter eggs to fill the Easter eggs for this outreach event, and we need this by March the 20th, which is next Sunday, so you can put that in the kitchen on the center, you know, island there, and from today or, you know, next Sunday as well. And then we would just invite, if you know children that are of the ages, invite them out, bring them out. If you have kids, just, you know, invite all the individuals out, because friends, the gospel will be shared, you know, and I want you to hear that. We will be sharing the resurrection story, the story of Jesus who has raised from the dead, and because he lives, we too can live. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. I think we can do a little better than that, right? That sounds like we're still springing ahead here. I mean, you know, I got an hour less sleep too last night, so praise God.
Praise God.
That's better. That's better. Awesome. Good. And then make note of the Holy Week schedule. Thursday, March the 24th, right here at 7 p.m., we will be having a Maundy Thursday service, and then we will be participating at Shiloh United Methodist Church on Friday at 7:30 for the Good Friday worship service. The last couple announcements, and I know the last several weeks we've got several things going on. This bulletin insert here, and I'm stuck on this election going on. I'm serious. The more that I read, the more that I hear, the more I am thoroughly convinced that we as believers in prayer, we need to, you know, band together, and we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to pray. And so this is just one option that you can take and pray that God's individual that he has would be elected to the White House in the upcoming election. There are so many things that are going on that are just so wrong. Say it that way. It's just wrong. And we have to get on our face and pray. Seek the living Lord of the universe, the one who is on the throne of heaven, the one who rules from eternity. And we need to pray for this. And so that's one option for Lent. You know, this is the Lenten season. You can take and you can write something else in there. If you have a burden that God has placed on your heart for someone, write them down. Keep this in your Bible and pray over the next week. The next couple weeks, we're going to have one more of these. And this is to try to get us in the habit. Lent, we can subtract something and sacrifice, or we can add a spiritual discipline. Friends, this is a spiritual discipline. With me the Easter lilies, and you can fill that out, put that in the offering in memorial or in honor of someone. And then the last announcement, this Sunday we will be going up to Western Avenue and we will be serving a meal. We will be leaving here at Trinity at 3:30, so if you would like to be a part of that, please be here at 3:30. We would love to have you be a part of that service team. This morning's scripture service or reading, and I can't remember if I dismissed Children's Church, so if I didn't, then Children's Church, so that extra less hour of sleep, I think, is getting me here. So Children's Church is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We've got a special ministry prepared especially for you. This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the Gospel of John. The 13th chapter, we'll be reading verses 1 through 15. If you're utilizing the Pew Bibles, you'll find this reading on page 1673. Follow along as we hear a reading from the Gospel of John. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter. "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of praise and worship with this worship service, with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Let us pray. gracious, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Throughout this Lent season, we have been highlighting certain events that have led up to the week of Passion for Jesus. And my hope has been that the crucifixion would become very real, that the sacrifice that Jesus had made for you and for me would be able to be applied in our lives. But I open with a story. This week we find ourselves with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And all through the scripture, you'll notice that there are only two individuals that are ever called humble. The first is Moses. The second is Jesus himself. Years ago, I was at a church, and this individual got up, and he began to speak, and he began to tell about how God was a prideful God, and about how God would ride on a horse. And yes, that is true when he returns again, but friends, make no mistake about it, God is a humble God. Because in God's economy, the way God works, humility is the avenue to glory. You need to grasp that. Humility is the avenue to glory. And so, friends, years ago, I was in between ministry and working in the business world, and I had a family member. They had purchased a home, and little did they know when they purchased the home that the previous owner, they had brought all of these tires onto their property, and they filled in their backyard, and they just put the dirt, topsoil, over these tires. And so my family member went out one, spring day or one fall day, I can't remember which it was, and they thought, you know what, I've got like 5-6 acres here, and I'm going to burn the underbrush. You know what happened. Next thing you know, and I could see the billows of smoke, the black smoke billowing from my house where I was living at the time, and it was just billowing and billowing. And the problem was is that 10, 15, 20 feet down, because there was a ravine, this prior owner had buried these tires. And once they caught, they weren't getting put out. They had to call in the special fire department to come in and spray the foam on it, which wasn't very cheap either. And so that was the only way that they could extinguish the flames. So I wasn't working at the time. I was in between ministry and selling my business and everything. And so I volunteered to help my family member and go over there, because then you had the whole health department coming in and saying, hey, this is a hazard and all of this. And so I was trying to help my family out. And so I volunteered to go over there, and we got a 30-yard roll-off dumpster, and there was me and my dad, and we began to clean this up. I'm going to tell you, dirty, black, head to toe. It wasn't even washing your clothes. It was taking your clothes off and throwing them away. The pair of boots that I wore, the white socks that I had on, just black. Just black. And I share that to share this with you. Because if we aren't willing to get down in the dirt, if we aren't willing to get down in the muck and the mire of people's lives, then we subconsciously are saying that we are better than them. And sometimes when we get into the life, in the dirt of people's lives, we too will get dirty. And sometimes we don't even realize that we are getting dirty. It just happens. And friends, that's exactly the reason why Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet, and he knew that they were walking in the way that they were walking, in the way that they should be walking, and he knew they were doing what they should be doing, but yet their feet still got dirty. Sometimes I think we come to church and we come here on Sunday mornings and we walk out of here, and the next week we think that we're good to go and we've done what we should do, but we don't realize the subtle influences that the world applies to our life. And sometimes we got to throw away those old habits, we got to throw away those old behaviors, and we got to make a line in the sand and say, this is where it changes, this is where it stops with me. But before we even go there, we need to understand God's heart. And out of the scripture reading, we find God's heart in Jesus. John 13, verses 3 through 5. And he said, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper. Now, at this time, the disciples, they were bickering back and forth. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and I was younger, there were times where my mom and dad, they would ask me to do things, and I would just lay on the couch, and I'm watching cartoons, and I'm like, I ain't moving. I'm not doing that. And then little did I know, the next thing that would happen is my mom or my dad, they would quietly get up and start to do the thing they asked me to do. You want to talk about shame? You want to talk about being humiliated? You see, Jesus, that's exactly what he did from supper. You know, he finished eating with his disciples, and he is listening to the disciples. The Gospel of Luke tells us that they're bickering about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, picture that. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. This is where I'm going to sit. Peter, I'm going to sit over here. No, John, I'm going to sit over here. You can almost hear it. They're bickering. And Jesus quietly gets up. He takes a towel, wraps it around his waist. And then you have Peter basically saying, Lord, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And so Jesus, he rose from supper and he laid aside his garments. He girded himself with a towel. But we need to grasp that this is all part of Jesus' humiliation. All of Passion Week is where he was humiliated. He was crucified. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was insulted. He was done all of this for you and for me. And this, friends, is part of his humiliation of Passion Week, because he needs you to know that he is humble. He is willing to stoop low. And that's exactly what humility is. It's a literally of stooping yourself low, of making yourself low. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it literally means to prostrate oneself and to fall on your face and to make yourself low. You know, we got a problem in our country. And the problem is, it's a pride problem. I'm okay, is what the banter is in our country, in our society. It's all about me. It's all about self-absorption. It's all about what I want and what I need to do. It's all about me, 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 me. You listen to some of these candidates on the campaign trail, and I'm telling you, you will hear arrogance, you will hear pride, you will hear just absolute everything that is contrary to that. And then they call themselves Christians. But you know, the funny thing is Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master. Well, if Jesus is our master, and if that's what he is doing, if that is his heart, if that is the heart of God, which it is, friends, then what should our heart be? It should be of humility, of serving one another. And then Jesus, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so we need to grasp the heart of God. It's a heart of service. It's a heart of understanding. It's a heart of humility. And we need to understand that God loves you and me so much. He is willing to stoop so low. And you contemplate that and you ponder that and you think, holy smokes, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God, the one who inhabits eternity, has stepped out of eternity and stepped out of heaven and came to earth to lay down his life, even to the point where he is humiliated. I mean, this is the King of Kings. This is the Creator that's washing the creation's feet. Let that sink in. These are the feet that he knit together in their mother's womb, and he is stooped so low, and he is washing the very feet that he knit together. That's a sobering thought, friends. That's a sobering thought. Our world says, if I make something, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to step back and say, look what I did. Look at what I created. And Jesus, he's saying, no, I am going to stoop low. I am going to serve that which I created. Here's the connection, though, friends. The connection is this. We have humility. We have humbleness. And it moves to holiness. And this whole exchange with Peter and Jesus, I venture to say that I would have been the same way, because I did the same thing with my mom and dad when I was growing up, and they would go on and they would do what they asked me to do. I would hurry up and try to get up and say, I'm going to do this now, and then they would look at me and say, nope, too late. Guilty. That's what's going on with Peter. He's probably in the midst of the discussion, of the argument, of him being the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Peter is saying, you know, when Jesus gets to him, you're never going to wash my feet, Jesus. Not my feet. Now, Peter was already in Christ, and this is the main thing. Just like with that, those tires and that soot, it gets everywhere. The world gets everywhere in our lives, and then we go from one extreme to the next extreme, and then we're like Peter, and we say, hey, if you're going to wash my feet, not my feet, but my head and my hands also, wash all of me. Well, guess what? If you're in Christ, you don't need a bath. You have already been made holy. You have already been adopted into the family of God, but what we do need is we need that daily holiness that only comes from Christ. And that's the biggest mistake that Christians make. They come into Christ, and they come into the family of God, and they're adopted, and they're filled with God's Spirit, and then they cut all ties, and they cut everything, and they never fellowship with other believers. They're never in God's Word. They're never coming to church. And then they scratch their head, and then they come to me, and they say, I don't understand what's going on. Well, Jesus says it right here. He who has bathed does not need to wash. If you have been made holy, if you have received Jesus, in a few moments we're going to invite five individuals, five young men and women, come up here and to publicly profess their faith in Jesus Christ here today. If you have done that, you have been bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been made holy. But you know what? Just as that pot black or whatever you want to call it from those tires that when I was helping my family clean it up, I'm telling you what, I can't tell you how many dumpsters we hauled out of there. That doesn't matter. All I know is that I had one set of clothes. I didn't bother to wash them. That's futile. It got everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, you know, the boots that I had to throw them in the trash. I wore the same pair of socks for that whole entire time. And the reason why is because the white socks, they were no longer white. They were black. And that's exactly what this world does to you and to me. And the crazy thing is it's so subtle that we don't even realize that it's happening. And it creeps in. And it creeps in. If it's a big sin, we understand it. But when it's a subtle, small sin where we are getting dust on our feet, the feet of our souls, and your soul is exactly who you are, friends. That's the core of who you are. It's been said by Dallas Willard, the most important thing in your life is not who you are, it's who you are becoming. And if you never get your feet washed by Jesus on a daily basis, that's the very reason why you and me in Christ as believers, brothers and sisters in Jesus, that we need to ask for daily forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for those things. Wash me, cleanse me, make me pure, make me holy. Because friends, that's exactly what it's all about. It's about creating that fellowship, creating that consistent, abiding relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we say, well, I got to rededicate. Really? Maybe you just need to let Jesus wash the feet of your soul. Maybe you just need to fall on your face and let Jesus wash those things out of your life. When is the last time that you or I have bowed our heads and said, Lord, forgive me for my sins? And Jesus, just bring to my mind all those things that are unholy and unpleasing in your sight, and then stop and shut your mouth. It's got to be daily, friends. It's got to be daily. In Jesus' day, they wore sandals. It was dirty. It was dusty. In common to what we think, even the Jewish slaves were not permitted to wash somebody's feet. If you want to think about how far low Jesus submitted and humiliated himself, they would have a servant there, a Gentile servant. And friends, unless you're Jewish, you and I, we are Gentiles. And so they viewed this as an act of humiliation of the lowest of lows. And Jesus willfully, earnestly gets up and says, I'm going to wash my disciples' feet. He wants to do the same for you. He wants to do the same for me. Won't you let him today? Won't you let him? Because until you get there, then the scary thing is this. Jesus looks at Peter and he says, if you won't let me do that, you have nothing to do with me. That's scary, friends. Because if your heart isn't a heart of humility, And if your heart is a heart that says, I've accomplished it all, I've arrived, I don't have any need for Jesus to forgive my sins, what you are saying is you are saying, I have no need of you, Jesus. And Jesus will, in turn, look at you and say, you have no need for me. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But what I will say is your fellowship, your relationship with Jesus Christ has been cut. And all the blessings that come through the power of the Holy Spirit stop. That's the scary thing. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. It's even more fearful to fall out of God's good grace. But here's our call, friends. Our call is this. For I've given you an example. So we have humbleness. We have holiness, a daily practice of holiness. And then we have happiness. You know, I just watched a report where an individual, they said that you got to choose your own happiness in this life. That's hogwash. You can't choose your own happiness. Happiness is not dependent upon some other thing in this world. I will tell you the way and the path to happiness, and it's right here, friends. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. This is our call. To wash one another's feet, to speak words of life into the heart and the soul of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to come around those who are struggling and to uplift them, to experience the joy and the encouragement of those people who are experiencing the joy in Jesus Christ. And that's our call. To truly, truly, Jesus says, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. We got to get out of our minds the thought that we don't have to do this. Jesus has already done it all. No, he's saying, this is my requirement of you. This is my call for your life, is to surround your brothers and sisters. And he's speaking to a group of friends, a group of individuals who are arguing and bickering back and forth of saying, hey, I'm the greatest in here. And he's saying, what I've done to you, you do also. Now, I'm not saying to literally wash others' feet. That's not what I'm saying. But we wash people's feet by encouraging them. We wash people's feet by listening to their struggles. We wash people's feet by hearing their pain. We wash people's feet by getting into the dirt of their life. We wash people's feet by visiting those who need a visit. We wash people's feet by picking up the phone and saying, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? We wash people's feet by walking through life with others. And that's what Jesus says he will do with us. And he continues and he says, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Now here's the promise. This is where I want to leave you. The five individuals, young men and women that are coming forward, here's my challenge to them as well. If you are here today and you are searching for that elusive happiness in life, here's your answer. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Makarios in the Greek, it means to be happy. You see, humiliation is the avenue to glory. You see, humiliation and serving is the avenue to happiness. If you and I want to truly be happy and content and fulfilled, you know what we need to do? Humble ourselves in the face of God. Submit our lives unto Him. Allow Him to wash us clean every single day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. It doesn't have to be a half an hour. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes. It can be literally 30 seconds and say, Jesus, here I am. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Purify me. Make me. Return to me the joy of your salvation. And then we need to go out and serve. And that, my friends, will lead to your happiness. That will lead to your contentment. That will lead to your fulfillment. Until you do that, you're not going to be happy. And you will search high and low. And your happiness will be dependent upon some external thing. And friends, happiness happens in here, in your soul, in the person of who you truly are. When everything is stripped away, your soul will still be there because your soul is exactly who you are. And if you don't find happiness in Christ by washing our brothers and sisters' feet, you wash their feet by praying for them. I could go on. You will be blessed because your happiness won't depend upon this world. I got news for you. This world is passing away. This world is going to be purified by fire. This world isn't going to last. contrary to what some of the other religious beliefs say and proclaim and say all that, if this is all of the best it is, then my goodness, you know what? The God that I know, the God that I serve, the God that I love, He is so far beyond this wretched fallen world, this sin-laden world, that the sin of this world just pollutes us to such an extent that you will get black on you in places that you never knew that you could get black. Let Jesus wash your feet and serve by washing other people's feet. And then you will be living for eternity, but you will be practically relevant here and now. At this time, I want to invite the baptismal candidates to come forward. Friends, this is what it's all about. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. And you know, we can wash their feet by praying for them. And so I'm going to charge all of us here this morning. If you are willing to stand with each of these five young lives by supporting them, praying for them, encouraging them, surrounding them with love, then if you would, please stand with me right now, and may we truly show them that we are standing with them in Christian love. And so will you do everything in your power to encourage them to pursue the faith of Christ, to pray for them, to uplift them, and to surround them and fill their hearts with truth and love and joy. If you will strive to do that, friends, please say, we will.
We will.
All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We're truly humbled. Humbled by your outpouring of love and by your outpouring of grace. We love you, O Christ, and we thank you for the supreme sacrifice of grace and love that you gave to us many years ago. And we're reminded of it here today, of the wooing of your Holy Spirit, of pulling individuals to you to come into a relationship with you. We specifically pray for Corbin. We pray for Jake. We pray for Alex. We pray for Carly. And we pray for Caleb. Father God, we pray that you would just surround them with your love, that you would speak truth into their lives, and above all, that you would find us all faithful and obedient to encourage them to pursue you, to chase a relationship with you. For you and you alone are all that matters in this world, O Christ. So, Father, may you be finding us faithful and obedient as we support them, to provide to them the tenets of the faith, the doctrine of the faith. And may we encourage them as they chase after you, O Christ. We bless you now, and we pray this in the mighty and the risen name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You guys can go back and join your families.
Oh,
We invite everyone to join us in the fellowship hall. The baptisms will take place out there. Just gather around. And as you are dismissed, I'm going to ask for all the baptismal candidates to stay here with one of their parents. We have just some last-minute instructions. So please, if you would, just, you know, quietly exit and surround the tank out there. And may the God of all grace, may He bless you and keep you. May He truly find you seeking His face. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the risen Christ, may you be blessed and truly happy. Amen.